You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart with thy word. Take it and help us in every way. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In John chapter 17, our Lord is God communicating with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In their nature, essence, being. In God's wonderful way. And the disciples are given the privilege of being encouraged as they listen, as they paid attention to the conversation, God with God. So they know, there's no question, when God lets you hear what he says, when God has given us his written word, you can't ask for more than that. God says it, and now you have to go with it, because it's God who said it. So therefore, in the light of that, they're facing awesome crucifixion and all of the terrible times coming for them, as they would see it at that point. Now, John chapter 17, we shared together in verse 9 that he was praying for them, and he prayed for, he isn't praying for the world, verse 9, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So God, and the little word for, F-O-R, little preposition, has to do with circling, to circle around, to take something and circle around it, to circle it. The center of the circle are the believers. God is circling. He's circling around in his concern for them. They're the centerpiece of his, he's looking. They're the object of his concern, as it were, circling around them. They're completely surrounded, as it were. He isn't praying for the world. He's going to die for the world, that the world might believe and be saved. But the world is going to go and make it very, very, very tough for believers to bear witness to his wonderful person. And like it says in John 17:8, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And they are going to be sent. So God is going to be represented not by the person of Jesus Christ in the flesh, resurrected. He's going to be represented by the saints, sinners, saved by grace because of his resurrection. They have his life, and they're going to demonstrate that life. And in order to demonstrate the light, the life, in the state of a world of death, in order to demonstrate the light in the state of a world of darkness, that's no picnic. And they needed to understand what the problems are and who's behind them and where the encouragement and success comes from. The success comes from God. They need to know what God is doing, why God is doing it, how God is doing it. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and verse 10, we share together, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And so mine are thine, God, it's God. They belong to God the Father, they belong to God the Son, they belong to God the Holy Ghost. All believers, God created them, belong to him. Christ died for all of them. And all of those believers, right then, the disciples in the upper room, are going to go and be the apostles, and they have a foundational assignment to represent God and to bring and finish the New Testament. And in the process, we're looking to God because, after all, they laid the foundation on top of Christ, who is the foundation, and we're the buildings, the bricks going up the wall. So where the bricks? The bricks have been there. It's our turn on that row of bricks. It's our turn up there. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, and that's Judas Iscariot, according to the scripture might be fulfilled. Psalm 41, God says, he's going to betray me. And that is all known when God started everything. And so therefore it had to be come to pass. And Judas was part of the 12, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't a saved man. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and we shared the word kept, as repeated, kept, keep. To keep your eye upon one kept. And that's the most kept. Keep your eye upon. Be watching carefully, thoroughly, watching. And sleepless, to be sleepless, the second kept. So both of them, kept, to be kept, guarded, watched over in the circle of God's concern. Don't take your eye off them. Don't lose sight of them. Don't let them slip out of that circle of concern. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in verse 13. Now remember, Lucifer, son of the morning, was the source of why Judas Iscariot sinned. And the devil used Judas to betray him. Now, in the garden. Now, having said that, chapter 17, verse 13. And now come I unto thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I'm speaking these things in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. That's what I'm looking for. I'm coming. It's a sure thing. I'm going to go. There's no question of my coming. There's no question of my going. Look at chapter 16, just for reference to remind yourself. Chapter 16, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And he said very clearly, in my Father's house are many mansions, etc. So all of that is, there's no question. He's speaking and he's going to fulfill all of the wonderful, wonderful words. In particular, he's going to fulfill his joy. His wonderful, wonderful joy. My joy, my joy. And you remember, back now while you're right there, John chapter 15. John 15. Did I do that right? John 15, verse 11. All we're doing is locking you. We've done joy, but I want, you've had joy. I want you to continue to have joy. Chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, the personal joy that belongs to God, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, so that you would have the sharing experience of my joy, the wonderful, wonderful delight. It is my pleasure. It is my pleasure. It is my happiness to be happy. Wow. To joy, to have the joy, and that joy, that wonderful, wonderful joy. Now, and you would know in the angels, Job 38, when God created the earth and was doing all like Genesis chapter 1, when he was creating it, the sons of God, the angels, were so excited of what God was doing. It was wall and stars and everything. Wow, they were all excited. Wow, angels were. Not the bad guys, the good guys. Now, sliding over to Isaiah, coming back, but hold your thought. Isaiah and chapter 45. In the kingdom, God's wonderful, wonderful time coming up. God is going to go and do his wonderful, wonderful things. And you will please note, this is the context, new heavens and a new earth, verse 17. But behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind, all passed away. Verse 18, but be of good cheer, be glad and rejoice evermore in that I create. For, behold, I create. For, behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. What I'm going to do in the kingdom, Jerusalem, and my people Israel are a joy. They're a joy. I'm so glad. Verse 8, 19. You're going to see the word rejoice again. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. And joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. God is very, very happy of being happy. God delights in his joy. It is his pleasure to be perfect, to be wonderfully, wonderfully having everything in order. And what God does is a joy to him. We shared it on Wednesday, whatever it was, this last week, whatever. God has, Ezekiel 38, 18, I should say. God has no death. God has no pleasure, I should say, in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He makes it clear. I'm not. I died on the cross to save him. I didn't want that. I want him to live now. But the point, God... Angels, are you excited in heaven? What they are, without turning there. Think of Luke 15. The angels are excited and joyous over how many sinners that repent. That's the answer. One. Angels, they're all excited when one person believes. You have to understand that. Not 100 persons. One little person out there in the middle of nowhere believes. They're happy. God, it is a joy for you to save us. It is that we're in your presence, God, and it is a joy to you. May not be to us, but it is to you to be in your presence on the Lord's day. And God, here we are to enjoy your wonderful person. And when you talk to God, look to God, trust God, cry out to God. God isn't depressed, depleted, discouraged, dismayed. God is wonderfully, wonderfully God. And he loves being, this isn't even the word. God enjoys being who he is. And he delights in it. And we lose that. We're looking to see if God might pay attention. And remember what you read in Psalm 31 the other day somewhere. My times are in thy hands, said David. And God, I'm looking for your smile. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your face to shine. That's all. My times, our times, are in your hands, God. And we're looking to you to be happy. That's what we want. So no matter what's going on and all the bad stuff is, it's all there, no question. But we're looking to God for his wonderful, wonderful excitement to do what he does and how he does it. So, back to John chapter 17. And you will note in John chapter 17, and... that now come I, verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things speak I in the world. So, God, you're making it clear, so everyone's going to hear. Everyone's going to hear what you're going to say in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. You're going to say it. And you remember, God does that. God lets you in to listen. And just so you, in case you forget, John chapter 11, God says it different ways for you to see it. God gave you the written word, the Bible that's in your hand. God gave you that Bible so you could get it firsthand, straight from God. Straight from God in the original languages and wonderfully in the Bible in your hands, King James, etc. Now, so therefore, God wants us to know. Remember to Lazarus. Why did you do Lazarus in the way you did it? He could have been there and Lazarus would have never died. But he wanted Lazarus to be buried. He wanted Lazarus to be all wrapped up like a mummy. All wrapped up. He wanted that so that he could demonstrate. What? 11:42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people, verse 42, which stand by me, I said it, reason, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then Lazarus come forth, wonderfully, wonderfully come forth in a most wonderful way. Chapter 12. And chapter 12, verse 27 again, locking it in. Now my soul is troubled, said the Lord, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world this hour to die on the cross. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now why was that voice heard? Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by heard it and said, that it thundered, others said, an angel spake to him. They heard. God wants to communicate. That's why you got the Bible. That's why you read it, hopefully, and look to God and believe and rest in it. You want to hear from God? There it is. It's just like if you got a letter from somebody, besides a bill collector, you got a letter from somebody, and you got a letter from somebody, and the name's on it. That's pretty serious. That's a personal letter. You've got the Bible, personal word from God. So that you know. I want to know what God thinks. You got it. And that's what God did before that, even in the New Testament as he was doing. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, here, chapter 17, so they're going to hear, and the joy, my joy is going to be fulfilled in them. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. My joy to be filled in them. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, wow. So the world's going to hate them. That's right. Why are you going to pray? Why are you praying in verse 9? Why are you surrounding them with your concern? The world hates them. It loves darkness rather than light. It hates them. I got to protect them. Hang on. I got to protect them. I got to keep them. Like we shared last time and kept. We looked at kept. How does God keep a believer? And we went all over the place so we could see it. God keeps believers in all kinds of different ways, all the way to the end. Wow. So, God, I need to understand how this works. What am I looking for to happen, and how does it happen? Now, having said that, in verse 14, thy word, the world, and therefore you're going to deliver me in the process. The world hath hated them. And in the process, having hated them, and I pray not, and I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. No, I don't want to take them out of the world. I don't want them out of the world. I want them in the world. That's what they're doing. That is their assignment. Matthew chapter 12, 38, 39, 40. As the only sign, it's 1,000 times. The only sign I'm going to be giving after Calvary's cross is the sign of the prophet Jonah. There's no one going to be able to find the body. The body, the evidence, the empty tomb, unanswerable. We're stuck because you don't believe, God said. I'm only going to show you a sign. That's the sign of the believing. That's why we sit here as believers, bearing record to what? Why are we sitting here? Because Jesus Christ rose again the first day of the week. Why are we sitting here? Because the only way we can get life is from Jesus Christ who rose again from the grave. Therefore, we are evidencing the wonderful life we're supposed to be. Believers, we're saved, evidencing life. We have a relationship to God. We aren't out there trying to find God. We aren't dreaming about God. We're in the presence of God, in His wonderful, wonderful presence. And that's where we is. That's where we is. That's where we are. We're in that place. It's an awesome place. We're going to look at it. It's an awesome place. We're right in the middle of it, but no one can see. But we're right in the middle. We're protected and kept right in the middle of the thick and thin of the world system in which we live. Now, so therefore, verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil, the little word the in front of it, the evil one, the wicked one, the devil himself, to keep you from the devil himself. Wow. And the devil's there in all of his awesome, awesome power. Now, that's an awesome thing. So what are we going to do? Now, it doesn't say keep you from your old nature. You already got that. You live with that. That's your old sin nature. You got that. No question. That's Mark chapter 7 has evil and all the stuff, everything we don't like. That's why the world system is what it is, because us humans make up the world system. But the world system is then dominated by the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, the wicked one. So the wicked one is in dominating it. So now I got to protect him. It's one thing your old nature, we got to handle that. It's one thing for you to handle your old nature, the sin nature. And so we need to walk with God and look to God and confess our sin and all those things. But for the god of this world, for the devil, that you can't deal with. That person is something else. So I pray, Father, protect them in the circle. Protect them in the circle from the evil one. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so you can see it a little bit, I'll go over to the 1 John. 1 John. In 1 John, and picking up, please, chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. Keeping in mind now, we're looking. You're in the world. I want you to keep them in the world, in particular from the evil one. That the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world system, he's something else. So you got to keep them. Now, 1 John chapter 2, what do we know about the world? Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It belongs to the system. The world system is made up of us humans. Us humans have exclude God. The world system has no place for God. Religion, yes. Politics, yes. For God, no. Verse 17, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the world system is there, and we're in the world system. We are part of the world system. God saves us out of the world system. God leaves us in the world system. Now, having said that and keeping that in the mind, so we gotta deal with the world. The God of this world is something else, but the world we gotta deal with. And an easy way, just think of joy that we looked at in verse 13, "My joy I give unto you," as it were. Anything, you know it's worldly, when anything comes in your life and it takes away your joy, if you lose it, say it another way, if you lose something, your couch, your favorite chair, or something, name whatever you wish, and you lose your joy, that's worldliness. It's a way to easily see it. You're caught up. There's nothing here, nothing you're keeping, nothing you're looking to, nothing hanging on to. You can't love God and the world at the same time. You can't do it. So that's our old nature. And we just don't need to love. We need to love God, and thank God he saved us out of the world. Like Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, I think, he delivered us from this present evil world, and he did that. Evil world, he delivered us, rescued us. We're still in it, right? But we're not of it. And that's what nags people, nags the enemy, because you're a children of light and you know God is your Savior. May not help you at all. Just think, here's the believing heart. The believing heart has an awesome relationship to God. They have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are a new creature in Christ, and God has found his home in their heart. And having that unique relationship, so we could say with the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth, God is in you of a truth. God is in you of a truth. That's true. And that is so alien, so foreign, so terrible to the world of darkness, that God, who we reject, could have you part with him. You and he are the same. As I am not of the world, they are not of the world. That is unacceptable to us worldlings. You can be church-going and dedicated and purge yourself and do all the thing you want, but don't enjoy God like you're supposed to. Don't enjoy God like you're supposed to. My joy I give you. Why? That drives them bats. And that's the problem. Not sitting in buildings, that don't bother anybody. Sit in buildings and sing and jump around or whatever you want. That won't bother anybody. It's when you claim to have that unique, and not claim, you're right. We just did in Sunday school. You have to be God saved. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so 1 John. Now, having said that in 1 John, slide over, if I can, to 1 John chapter 2, and may I pick up, watch it come, the believing heart is to grow, to know. Now, think of Hebrews, what we're doing in Sunday school. 1 John chapter 2, picking up verse 12. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." That's why. Not because we're good guys or bad guys. They're forgiven because he died on the cross. That's why they're forgiven. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning, and you have grown and aged wonderfully, God willing. I write unto you, young men, growing, warriors, because you have overcome the wicked one." There it is. So the believer, as he grows, the little baby doesn't fight the devil. He doesn't have to fight, but they become military, and we go to war. The young men, are in what? They're overcoming the evil one. That's what they're doing. How? Because God is keeping them, protecting them. The end of verse 13, and I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. What was the problem in John 17? I have given them thy word. I have given them my word, and they hate it. That they are able to enjoy the same privileges that the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ had and will have being born again on the day of Pentecost, etc. Now, they're going to have that privilege. So therefore, the end of verse 14, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And that's what they did. We're in the battle. We're in the battle. Fight. I've been through it. You've been through it. More or less, everyone. Wow. So it is. Went through the thing. What did it? Wow. So now God, having said that little bit, having gone through that, or if I can, in chapter 3. In chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, the devil, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That's what we're looking at. The world hates anyone. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world, what? Hate you. The world system isn't happy with you. Now that doesn't mean you're trying to be an irritant to them. And that doesn't mean you're walking around with big signs and shooting scripture dots at them. You aren't doing that. Trying to be whatever. Illustrations, all those things. The wife's going to save her husband, so she has everywhere, because it says in Deuteronomy 6, paste everywhere. So she has, he can't shave anymore, because the whole mirror is covered with scripture verses, and everything is there. So, you're reasonable in it. You're saved, thank God you're saved. The other guy isn't saved. They aren't saved, so they can't do, so you got to live with them as best you can, 1 Corinthians 5, you live with them as best you can, do that wonderfully, and let them shave. Now, having said that, in chapter 5, and we read it in Sunday school, and you will note, when we know that we are of God, verse 18. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So that's the real problem with the devil all the time. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world system, like in a great big coffin as we've shared, lieth in wickedness. It's in the evil one. Wow. It's in wickedness. The wicked one. The evil one. The whole world's in that. Wow. That's where it is. Now, over to chapter 4. So the young man, the warriors, they're going to overcome. Well, what about the rest of us? Well, we're supposed to all be overcomers. And as you would know, chapter 4 helps us. Picking please down to verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not, N-O-T, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So back then, the spirit of Antichrist was moving, and we're that much closer now to Revelation 13, the Antichrist. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's the issue. God is in you. And greater is he that is in you in the world, and that it is unacceptable. It is unacceptable to him for you to be able to have such a relationship to God in the light of all his great world system. It's a bad testimony for you to be a believer in the midst of the crowd that doesn't want to believe. They love darkness, but not everyone loves darkness. Some would like to get out of darkness. So that's why we're there. We're left in the world, but not of the world. We don't belong here. We don't belong at all. We've moved. We have a relationship to God. Do it for you. If you're saved, you have a relationship to God. And we look to God, we pray to God, walk with God, trust God. How are we doing? There's no way for me to practice this without understanding that's where I'm going. I'm not talking to the president or somebody else. I'm talking to God, looking to God, trusting God. Where is God? There. I'm moving. So I'm not interested in how it's going to go 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now. I'm looking to God. We're looking to God. We're headed home. We're not of this world. I don't even think of being in this other world. I can't think of being in this world. I don't belong in this world. Neither do you, if you're saved. It's how you think. You know you don't belong. You're looking to God, looking for his coming, looking, God, keep me, God, do this, God, do that, help us, wow, God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, help us. So now, if I can, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, you would know the issue of what the problem is. Why is the world uncomfortable? Because Ephesians chapter 1:22, and hath put all things, God hath put all things under his Christ's feet, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, the assembled body of believers, which is, verse 23, his body, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is representing Jesus Christ directly. The believing heart is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're here to represent Jesus Christ directly. He rose again, that's why we come to church, etc. And he rose again, and that's what we're saying. Jesus Christ rose again. The world crucified him. The world isn't happy. They can't find him. And they don't want you bearing evidence that he rose again. We want that to disappear from our mind. So therefore, Ephesians chapter 2, picking up please, sliding over if I can, verse 11. Remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That's where we were. We got saved. We know we aren't any more like that. We got saved in God's wonderful, come to know the Lord as your Savior in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God has to go and keep us in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, God has to protect us. Over, if you would please, in chapter 5, on your way back there, and in John chapter 5, you'd recall, so that we wake up, say, believers, stay awake. The Lord's coming is nearer than it was before, Romans. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, light, light. See then that you walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. They're evil days, and the evil one doesn't want you to expose the evil days. I don't want, I'll be like the devil, I don't want the world to understand these are dark, dooming days, evil. I want them to think everything's going to come out somehow, globalism and all these different things, the World Forum, all the stuff that's big people and possessions of power moving what they do. The devil is behind all of that, ultimately, now. So in the process, here we are to be a witness, and the world doesn't want that witness to be born. They hate it. And if God doesn't protect us, we're sunk. So God, you have to protect us and keep us in the circle of your concern. Otherwise, we're sunk because we can't tackle the devil. We can't tackle him. Back over, if you would, chapter 6. In chapter 6, would you please note, remember our battle, our armor, the whole armor of God, sliding to verse 15, 13 better, for time's sake, we're against the powers of darkness and that whole wonderful section. Chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's an evil time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's not an easy thing, but you have an assignment. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Sliding down, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. He shoots fiery darts. You got a God, you got to protect us and help us, because otherwise it's there. Now, 99% of the people, the devil can only be one place at one time. And so therefore that, you say, well, it doesn't matter. But the war, the demons, the system, the world system represents the devil. The world system is moving in line with the devil's thinking ultimately coming to pass here. So in the process, what are we going to do? Over, if you can, please, over to Peter. 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 5, better. 1 Peter, chapter 5. And would you please note, God, what are we up against? We're up against the enemy. Therefore, humble, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, let God's hand press down on top of you, down on top of you, down on top of you. He isn't going to crush you. He's not going to crush you. He's going to humble you. Down, humble, low, no, humble you. Why? Because you can't have pride. Pride will kill you. So therefore, Peter, casting all your care upon him, because he cares. God surrounds you with, just like we did in verse 9, John 17. He surrounds you with his care. Wow. Be sober, be vigilant, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And so therefore, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, body of truth, I believe. God, you said, no, I'm going to rest in the body of truth that God said. And verse 9, let me get there again. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you see the word resist? Resist steadfast. Jump over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Resist. Stand fast. Hold your ground. What are we going to do? Look to God. Look to God in the light of His Word. What's His Word tell us? James chapter 5. Chapter 4, I should say. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist. There's the same word. Resist. To stand fast. Hold your ground. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, because he can't do anything. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard in your heart. So God, we're going to look, so they can't do it. The devil says you need to worry, you need to wonder, you need to be depressed, you need to be depleted, you need to be displayed, you need to be disappointed, all the words. No. There we are. You know, well, the thing when you go to a doctor now, 45 things that you never knew. Are you depressed, depleted? Did you ever have hiccups, everything? I got all these things written down, all these things down. You got it? You know, I said, no. I just put a line down the whole thing. I'm done. Zero. Wow. God. So we're looking to God. God, resist the devil. He has no play. I don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, I guess, a little bit, I think you're getting it. Let me do it. Over to Psalm. Psalm 31. Hope you're getting a little bit. God is doing what He's doing, and you have to understand He has to watch over us. But He isn't going to take care of our old nature. That's up to us to take care of that. Trusting God, reckon ourselves dead, etc. Now, here's Psalm 32. And Psalm 32 in a most wonderful way. Now, what do we know from Ephesians? We know we're walking. If I just take Ephesians, we're walking. We're walking by faith. Walk by faith, walk as children of light. All the while we're walking, we're doing good works. All the while we're sitting, walking, and doing good works, at the same time we're seated. Walking, doing good works, we're seated, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, seated in heavenly places. So we're sitting down, all the while we're standing up. Sitting down, doing, resting, all the while we're moving. All it's true. And God leaves us and moves us in a wonderful way. We're on the playing field. On the playing field, boy, I get, hang on. Here's Psalm 31 anyway. God, David, how did you do it? You're way back there. We have the advantage hugely over you, David. Oh, how great is thy goodness. And let me say that. You have a huge advantage over David back then. Huge. If David doesn't take the advantage he does, he loses it. And if we don't take the advantage, huge. Think of us. David took it with this little advantage. We got this advantage, and we don't take it. Not that you don't take it. Now, therefore, 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, for thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, because before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. God, can David be kept there, and the enemy's there, everything is against him sometime? You're going to stand there. Keep me in the presence, in your presence, God. Surrounded, kept in the circle of your concern from the evil one. The evil one wants God to God. God says, I don't want you. God, I don't want the enemy, the one we can't fight, to have any say in your life. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The devil wants you. He doesn't want you to be a light. Stay dark and be saved. How's that? Stay dark and be saved. Shut your mouth, go in the closet, and don't say anything to anybody at any time. Don't even open your mouth to God, and I'll be happy with you. See? That's what the devil wants.